Bring in Maddie. I want to speak with him.
Oh, do you?
Oh,
you want to speak with your guy, Matt Devlin. Okay, here he is, the voice of the Raptors. Back on Overdrive here is Maddie D. Matt Devlin. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are the three of you?
We're awesome, man. Well, we had a bit of a situation, Maddie D., at the beginning of the show. Hazy B. on Monday was like, you know what? Raps just lost to the Timberwolves. He's just down in the dumps. Then they win against Milwaukee, and he's like, no one in the East scares me. So, Maddie D.
He's a flip-flopper. Is that
well, let me just ask you. Here's the question, Maddie D. Which Brian Hayes is real life?
Well, that's a good question. But I think that I think that you have to look at the Eastern Conference. And I will say this, and I said this at the beginning of the year because of the type of year that it is, and very much like probably what you guys would think of the NHL. You never know what this season is going to bring, so everybody get ready for the playoffs and try to be your best self when you get there, which means be healthy, be ready to go. And so I don't think that there's anybody outside of Brooklyn in the East that would scare you. And the one question about Brooklyn, you guys know it. I'm sure you've talked about it. That's defense. Mm-hmm. When will they decide to guard? And quite honestly, for them, probably with about 20 games left in the season, they'll start to really try to hone in on that as they kind of just go through now this process of, you know, who's in the lineup, who's out of the lineup, because that's what Brooklyn has in front of them. As far as the Raptors are concerned, you know, that's one of those games on Sunday night after a six-game road trip where you go 4-2, and then you have Milwaukee twice. You know, you kind of get caught in the middle a little bit going home and taking on, not even home, but going back to Tampa and taking on that Minnesota team. So I think the Raptors, I'm going to go hazy with, you know, I know you're probably, if they lose tomorrow, going to flip again on Friday. I mean, I just get that sense, right, yeah. O-Dog? He's going to flip back. Right, Noodles? He's going to flip back, go the other way, you know.
No. Here, let me.
Yes, you are. It's just like, you know, probably after, you know, the Leafs being up 5-1, you flipped on them after they lost to Ottawa.
Yeah, well, I think they should tank now. I think they should get back into the lottery and go for it, completely redo everything. Naturally, our friend here did not lay on the table all of the commentary from earlier this afternoon.
What did I miss out, Brian?
Well, a couple of things. One,
Maddie, go ahead, explain
to Maddie.
A couple of
things. One, I did say Brooklyn scares me if they defend, just like Devlin just said. Matt just said it. He's right. They have so much talent. If they defend, you should be scared of them. What
right.
The point I was making was I could see Masai Ujiri just kind of in the weeds sitting there saying, you know what, we could be a player away from going on a run as well because no one scares me in the East outside of Brooklyn. And that is a point I shared on Sunday. I share it based on what happened last night. I think if the big four are healthy, OG coming back last night, he looked great, Siakam, Fred, Lowry, you add another piece, I don't have a name for you. I have a position I'd like to fulfill, but I don't have a name for you. If you're Masai Ujiri, Maddie, I could see him sitting there saying, I could get greedy here. We could beat Boston. We could beat Philly in a best of seven. Absolutely you could do that. I think you might need to improve, but that's the point I was making. Not terrified. You add a piece. Why can't the Raptors win a couple of rounds?
Well, what makes this interesting is that there's nobody running away with the field.
Right.
And so just when you think you're back in it, you end up losing a game that you think you should win, but then all of a sudden you break out the small lineup and you defeat Milwaukee. And so you look up and down the Eastern Conference, and I think Masai and Bobby always put themselves in a situation where they believe they're one player away. You know, the question becomes, what is it going to take to get that player? And this is where, to me, this gets a little bit interesting because we've heard all the rumors, but I don't know if Andre Drummond at $28 million, you're going to have to line up a lot of contracts to get to that. There's not too many horrible contracts out there where, okay, you take this and I'm going to take that. I think very much like Blake Griffin, it could end up in a buyout market. He's already rumored to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. Next season, he's owed $39 million, so it'll be interesting to see what that buyout number is. And I think that Andre Drummond could be headed to that. And if you recall last year, Markieff Morris was bought out by Detroit, eventually signs with the Lakers. Here's an interesting thing with the Raptors. We know that they're going to remain in Tampa for the remainder of the season. They haven't had a tremendous amount of success in the past going out into the buyout market, but this year could be different. And the reason why is no state income tax in Florida, and obviously the weather. And so is this a year where the Raptors, to your point about maybe being one player away, can they add that player through the buyout market? It'll be interesting to see how all that plays itself out, because the trade deadline's not, you know, for another 5 weeks. But that's something just to kind of keep in the back of your mind. No state income tax and the weather. This is where maybe the Raptors are able to do something in the buyout market.
I appreciated what Van Vliet said after the game when he was asked about, you know, the small lineup and whether or not he thinks it can work. And he basically said it better. Okay. Yeah, we don't have a choice. This is what we have. And he knows, you know, they started 2-8. They lost to Minnesota. You know, listen, they're not in the most secure position right now with the standings. But I like that comment, and I think it says something also about how they feel about Anunoby and his versatility. They clearly missed him for those 10 games. He didn't play a ton of minutes last night, but he looked pretty good. What did you see out of OG, and where do you see his game going here? Does he still have more growth?
Well, he definitely has more growth, and the growth is consistency, right? Where, you know, great players are defined by night in and night out. Noodles and O-Dog know that, right? Players that show up every single night and produce. Hazy B, do you know about that? Producing everything?
Somewhat familiar from afar. I've read about it. I've read a lot of books on that.
He does it because he was never a pro athlete, Matty D. Continue with the statement.
But if OG is the sort of player that, and I believe that he is, that is a 3-and-D, but then also continues to evolve with his handle, getting to the rim, you know, watch out. They have six players right now that you can tell based upon the rotation that those six are the ones that they trust, inclusive of the five that started and Chris Boucher. And now you're looking for a Bembry who has really picked it up. And what can you find now from Aaron Baines coming off of the bench? And, you know, will this grow with Watanabe coming back at some point? And so to me, you know, it'll be interesting to see what transpires here, because everybody talks about the five position, that they need something there. But there's also the conversation about wing depth and having somebody that's 6'8", 6'9", that has some length in the wing. So that is something potentially you take a look at. But the one thing, and I thought the Raptors played exceptionally well. And you go back to the Boston loss last Thursday, their scheme defensively, I mean, they were outstanding what they did against the big three. It just so happens that Semi Ojeleye and Peyton Pritchard, who they wanted to shoot the ball, you know, both had career type of games. So that happens. And last night they did a tremendous job putting multiple bodies on Giannis as well as Chris Middleton. Be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. But, you know, this is a team with that small lineup. When they come out, have the energy, the defensive intensity, watch out. The only one thing I will say is last night, that was a playoff-type rotation, right? And that's where that depth and the conversation about adding a player or two, you know, comes up.
Matty, Joe Buck came out and said that him and Troy Aikman used to have some cocktails in the press box. I know you or Leo or Jack would never do that. But if you did and you came out with it, do you think Jack Armstrong or Leo Routins would burn your house down for saying that? Because well, that's exactly what I would do if somebody came out and said that.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they pregame, not postgame.
Right. Who cares what it was? The fact that he came out with it was idiotic.
Loosening up.
Well, I will tell you from back in the day, and this is when I spent 7 years calling minor league baseball games along with a host of other things. I worked with the St. Louis Cardinals single A team in Springfield, Illinois. And one of the great joys that I got on off days, I'd drive into St. Louis and sit in the back of KMOX radio booth and listen to the great Jack Buck.
Right.
And he would sit there calling the game, and, you know, they'd have post-game, you know, you had the Budweiser there because obviously it was owned by Anheuser-Busch, and it was just a lot of fun. And then you'd head over to Mike Shannon's restaurant, and he would hold court over there, the legendary broadcaster for the Cardinals and former third baseman for the Cardinals, Mike Shannon. So, burning down the house, you know, it would be, I wouldn't think that they would do that. I don't think that post-game, yes. Post-game, for sure. You can count on Jack and Leo for sure in post-game. For sure, but I'm surprised pregame. But yeah. They used to say that Pat Summerall used to have a bar in the back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, used to have a bar in the back of the broadcast booth during football games.
Oh, man, you've probably heard way more stories than I have, but a bunch of old school. There's pictures of Harry Carey.
Yeah, I was just going to say Harry Carey.
That's right. Just Harry, you know, they always said, you know, like a six-pack for every three innings.
Yeah.
Times are different. You know, times are different. You know, I remember walking in and watching Jack Buck, and he'd have the Benson and Hedges 100s going, you know, and Mike Shannon had the Viceroys going, and, you know, totally different time.
Oh,
totally different time.
Just smoking and calling great ball games.
By the way, you guys need to go back and check on your story from earlier. I did. Hear about Eddie Goodell and Bill Veeck is a legendary owner, not only of the St. Louis Browns, but also the Chicago White Sox. He was actually the one that hired Harry Carey after he got let go in St. Louis with the St. Louis Cardinals. And there's a whole backstory to it, but it was a publicity stunt. He walked on four pitches, went to first base, and they put in a pinch runner for him.
Okay. But, and he was 3'6", I believe.
Seven.
Oh, sorry. My apologies.
Yeah, sorry.
You need sure,
the guy there, is a backstory, there is a backstory to that, and the commissioner, Happy Chandler, at the time came out with a statement and a ruling following that.
Yeah, I would hope so.
So anyway.
Yeah, at some point. I love it. Look at you. You've got the backstory.
I spent too much time in the minors. You know, there was a lot of time.
Well, you made it now,
buddy.
To
read up.
You made it now.
That I don't know.
No, you 100%.
To be on your show, for sure. It's always fun to be with Noodles and O-Dog.
Yes.
And you two Aces.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Matty. We appreciate it, buddy. Keep up the good work. Have a great call tomorrow night, and we'll bother you again down the road, I'm sure of it.
Please do.
You got it. There he is, Matt Devlin, the voice of the Raptors. How cool would that be? Jack Buck back in the day, just hanging out, watching him call a game.
But Harry Carey.
Cool.
You mentioned that, Harry Carey. Like, there's that
picture. He used to go right into
him.
The crowd, with no tarp on in his underwear. And just
and this butt's for you.
Listen to his voice. Like,
and this butt's for you.
You barely understand the guy. He's just buckled up in the booth. That's just,
that
but
would
that would be
awesome.
It. It's just, I don't know. Harry calls the games. He's, you know, half cut up there. He's smoking darts, and it's all good.
But if you're just a guy that's tinkering in the garage and have the radio on, that's the voice. That's
the best.
You want. Yeah, it's like the best.
Yeah, I don't
just
mind
a,
it.
A different era where a guy like that, he could pass out between innings, and he wouldn't even get suspended or anything.
No,
you know, the team would. They're like,
what
are you going to do?
A little too much last night, Harry. Like, smarten up.
It
missed the end of the game on the radio. Like,
it was
you're
a
right.
Day, and you know, it was a doubleheader, and it got the best of Harry.
And this bud's for you.
Here he is.